Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Emmanuel Macron at the APAC in Thailand, it's the APEC, in Thailand last week called for a single global order, bypassing China and America. The APEC summit opened on Friday in Thailand last week, and it's the last of the three world summits hosted in the region this month. Chinese leader Xi Jinping called for stability, peace, and the development of a more just world order. Emmanuel Macron heard that, and he upped the ante. He said this: "Are you on the U.S. or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see that there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake, even for both the U.S. and China. We need a single global order." Welcome to day 980 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Daniel 7:25. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, last week, it was a busy week. Well, it was a very busy week in regards to end times political activity, culminating with Emmanuel Macron at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, APEC, in Bangkok. Well, what was he there to do? Not much. Just talked about taking the power away from the United States and from China, and creating a single global order where neither of those countries are controlling things. And who, pray tell, might be in charge of this nascent single global order, or SGO? I'm pretty sure he's wanting to nominate himself. In fact, I'm quite positive. What might this single global order look like? Like exactly what the prophets in Revelation tell you it'll look like. All this and more on this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we pray for Annetta, still recovering from a stroke last May. She gets better every single day. She wants to walk again. And we pray, Lord, that you would give her a complete healing. We also pray for her husband's salvation. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease and needs our prayer. Amanda Mathias is very sick. Marriages that we're praying for: Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek, Joe and Linda. And the Lord works in these situations, and I have seen many, many marriages restored, and it's just a blessing to watch the process when both parties are willing to submit themselves to the Lord and come together as one. Karen Robinson would like prayers for her dad, who had a stroke a couple months ago. Also, I forgot Cephas' marriage. With him and his wife. I'm adding that to the list as well. Dale Parks would like prayers for a healing from bladder cancer. Elena Blackburn is expecting, and she's asking for prayer that she'll be able to give birth to a healthy baby. And we certainly do lift her up with that request. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for her sister-in-law, Donya. Been diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. Dennis, her husband, may be called to donate a portion of his liver. Stacy Bunton, prayers for possible breast cancer and prayers for her husband's salvation. So that's another marriage on the list. Shauna is asking prayers for discernment and God's blessing on moving to Florida with her sister. Jeanette's cousin Andrew just had a stroke, and Jeanette has an unspoken. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back. He needs prayer for a complete healing. Dina Kruger bronchitis, and we're praying for a complete healing for her. Ashley needs prayer. She is pregnant and addicted to meth. She needs to get recovered and get saved. Donna requests prayer for friends Amanda and Mark and baby Madison. She was born prematurely. She's a miracle baby, and we pray that the Lord will grow her up. Lulu asking for prayer for her friend Jimmy Lou and her son. They have COVID and they are very, very sick. Joe and Linda ask prayer for their family. Pastor Oliver's wife at North City Baptist Church, she is not feeling well. She was not in church yesterday, and we pray for her. Please keep Kelsey and Cameron, my daughter and son-in-law, in your prayers. They moved into their new house this week, and they are exhausted and wiped out, and they really, really had a hustle. So keep them in your prayers. Keep Lori Ann in your prayers as she continues to go down the path to closing on her home. And everybody who is traveling back to their homes from the Knights of Lights weekend, Trisha and her boys going back to Milton, Charlton going back to Georgia, Marie going back to Philadelphia, Dennis going back to Tennessee, and everybody, Cephas going back to Ocala, Jane going back to, I don't remember where Jane's from, but she's traveling back today, and everybody who is traveling on the NTEB street team, please keep them in your prayers. Shaycaster says, I am down right now. It's been tough, and please pray for me. Absolutely, brother. Aunt Nancy, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Thank you, everyone. And please keep Marie Comfort in your prayers. She is here in St. Augustine. I'm looking forward to spending Thanksgiving with her. And she needs a touch from the Lord, but she is just such a blessing. Keep Marie Comfort, rapture ready in the chat room. Please keep her in your prayers. Aunt Nancy says, Mark and Linda Bear, both in the hospital for different health issues. One has a brain tumor and the other one has pancreatic cancer and pneumonia. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, we just come before you today. And Father God, your word says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Father God, we just throw ourselves at your feet today and say, set a hedge of protection about us, keep the devil far away, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and let us get something done for you. And all these prayers for healing and health and restoration and for comfort and for loneliness, and for people who are frustrated, and for people who, Shaycaster says he's really, really down today, and there's many, many people feeling discouraged, within our fellowship right now. And Lord, I lift up each and every one of those people and ask you, Father God, to give comfort. Your word says, Lord, in the book of Isaiah, your word says that, you came to heal the brokenhearted. And we're so grateful for that. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus talking. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You know, one of the verses that the new versions like to take out is talking about how Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. They removed that from the New Testament. And Jesus did come to heal the brokenhearted. And I was reminded earlier today of a time that I went through, and I rarely talk about it, and I almost never talk about it in detail. But I remember a time years ago where my heart was completely broken and I was at the end of my rope. And you start listening to the devil and start thinking dark thoughts, and it's amazing how quickly that even a saved person can go down that path. And I had to be reminded in a very dramatic way that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus did heal my broken heart. And if you are discouraged today, if you're down and out and at the end of your rope, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. The Bible says in John 14, and I'll get to the podcast in just a minute, it can wait. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. Heath says, trying very hard to stop smoking. Please pray for me. Absolutely. Lord, for all these prayers, for the unspoken prayers, you know the need, you know the names. Details are not necessary. Lord, the prayers of the saints are a sweet odor unto you. And we do come before you today, and we do pray. And we lift each other up, Lord, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, because you are worthy, Father God. You are absolutely worthy. And we commit this time and these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you are here today. We had such a good time. We had such a good time preaching on the streets and having fellowship, and there were people who came out for the first time, like Amanda and Mike and Trisha and her boys, Linda and Joe, and they came out for the first time for Nights of Lights, and there was a whole bunch more people who this was their second time, and it really is a family, you know, and that's like the main takeaway from the weekend, was just how great it was to have my church family all around me. And everybody felt the same way. Trisha and Amanda had a very teary and emotional meeting, and she gave Trisha this beautiful painting. Cephas walked through the door, and boy, if you were there, he pretended that he was a guy who was looking for an NASB Bible, and he had that serial killer tone of voice perfected, and we were wondering, because nobody knew who he was, nobody had seen his picture, but it was a great, great time, and we got something done on the street. We handed out a couple thousand gospel tracts, and it was really, really just a blessing. We all went out for lunch on Sunday after church, got some Southern barbecue, and it was just really, really good. And so I thank everybody for coming out. And for those of you who weren't able to make it, we have a camp meeting coming up, and it's going to be good. And I invite every single one of you. We are going to do the camp meeting just a little bit different this year. And as we get closer to that, I'll give you the details. Joel Tillis is going to preach. My friend Dave Struble from Solid Rock Baptist Church up in New Jersey, he's going to preach. I'm going to preach. And Dr. Bill Grady, he's going to be a preacher at the camp meeting. And so I'm hoping that you got, it's the third Saturday in May, and I'm hoping that you guys will mark your calendar now. If you need to take time off from work, book it now. And please plan on being here that entire weekend. We're going to have events happening at the bookstore. We're going to do a live episode of the Soul Trap on Friday. All-day camp meeting. And then on Sunday, we're all going to go to North City Baptist Church, and we're going to go out for a fellowship lunch. So please mark your calendar now. It is like the 19th, 20th, and 21st, whatever that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is. the third weekend in May. And so mark your calendar and plan to be here. I would. We have capacity to hold 200 people, and I'm hoping that we'll get real close to that this year. And as we get closer, I will give you more details. But please mark that weekend in your calendar. Now, speaking of weekends and speaking of calendars, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and that's a holiday that needs no explanation or introduction. But just like we did last year, we are having a massive, we don't call it Black Friday, we call it Blessed Friday. And this Friday, we are having a massive store-wide sale at the bookstore. Up to 25% off on selected items, and there's about 80 different items. We got bundles, we got everything. So if you've been waiting for a really good time to shop at the bookstore, to get something that you want, we are going to have a really big sale, Blessed Friday sale. It's going to last 24 hours on Friday. Now, the following Monday is Cyber Monday. And most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with what Cyber Monday is. And we are going to have different items on sale for the Cyber Monday sale. And so what we're going to give you is an entire weekend of really good sales. So take your pick, shop at both of them. Whichever one the Cyber Monday sale is really going to focus on, the Ruckman books and Bibles. And between those two sales, it's going to be a real blessing to you, I promise you. So Blessed Friday and Cyber Monday. Amanda says, my husband will take away my debit card, especially after shopping on Saturday. Love my pillows and my and the book, Not My Will. And it was a blessing having you and your husband there and your very adorable little dog in the stroller. And you guys were such a blessing. You brought all that food, which we're still eating. And thank you very, very much. I look forward to seeing both you guys at the camp meeting. So, well, that's the introduction. Let's get into the podcast today. We got a lot going on. So I'm not going to, you know how like when you watch the news and you're waiting for like the big breaking headline and they make you wait through like three different rounds of commercials and they make you wait and they make you wait and they make you wait. And then finally they talk about the main thing that brought you in. Well, we're not going to play commercials before we give you the big headline.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360 brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Well, just having a little bit of fun with you guys today. This program is absolutely not sponsored by Fiber. Fiber? Pfizer. We need more fiber, that's for sure. We need a whole lot less Pfizer. So let's get right to the main topic today. Emmanuel Macron, if you've been paying attention on our podcast, we've been telling you about all these global meetings which have been taking place. The G20 and the B20 and the APEC summit And these are ultra high level meetings for everybody who is at the top of their game in whatever part that they play in the New World Order. And we heard from Klaus Schwab, and I played that clip twice already. I don't think I need to play it again. But Klaus Schwab talking about the Great Reset, and he just last week. And so the week came to an end. It came to an end in Bangkok, Thailand. And there is something called the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. But what's interesting about this clip that I'm going to play is that Emmanuel Macron is a keynote speaker at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. So you might be wondering what part of Asia and what part of the Pacific is France a member of? They're not. Emmanuel Macron and France are not members of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Nations. So, why would Emmanuel Macron be a keynote speaker? Well, because, if we are correct, it looks like we're looking at the biblical man of sin. And I've been saying that now for almost 5 years. And with each passing day, with each passing week, with the passage of time, he continues to do more and more and more things which prove our assessment of him to be more true than not true. So this clip that I'm going to play for you, this is Emmanuel Macron, and he doesn't speak in English all that often. But he can speak English. He's not overly good at it, but he's not bad. But this clip is Emmanuel Macron at the APEC summit on Friday. And this is what he said.
We are in a jungle and we have two big elephants trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a big problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals. Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake. Even for both the US and China. We need a single global order.
And there you have it. Could he be more plain? Could he be more clear? Emmanuel Macron, and remember, France is not a member of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Group of Nations. Why he was invited to speak there, I have no idea. Perhaps there's a legitimate reason. I don't know. And maybe one of you have already read why he was there. I have no idea why he was there. An NTEBer sent me this link, I think, yesterday. And I wrote back and said, I think it was Scott. And I wrote back and said, hey, thank you so much for giving me my podcast for Monday. A lot of the times, I'm dependent on you guys being my eyes and my ears, and feeding me information and feeding me stories. I'm greatly dependent on you guys doing that for me to a large degree. I can't be everywhere. So it's so awesome that we have this global network of NTEBers who are constantly, watching out and looking out. So I really, appreciate when you guys send me these links and you keep me, up to speed with what's going on. So, Emmanuel Macron, he's the guy that said he wanted to rule France like the god Jupiter. And what's really, really funny is he's made some outrageous statements in the past. And again, he doesn't speak English a whole lot, so I don't play a lot of clips of him actually talking, just like when Pope Francis says something. You know, he is not a fun to listen to public speaker, and I almost never play a clip of him talking because it's just so brutal to listen to. But this was one of those rare clips from Emmanuel Macron where he is speaking very clear and very plain English, and he is letting you know what's going on. And about 7 months ago, we did this story, and I just want to show you how effective this man really is, and I want you to take... Now, look, if you don't agree with our assessment that he's the biblical man of sin, and I see Bob posting in the chat room, humble one forever, it was great meeting you, brother, and I'm so glad that you guys were able to come out. So humble one forever. His name is Bob, and it was really great getting to fellowship with him as well. If you don't agree with our assessment that Emmanuel Macron is the biblical man of sin, that's fine. You don't have to. That's not like it's doctrine that we're teaching. It's really just our opinion. But you have to admit that with the passage of time, it's almost as if Emmanuel Macron is working to reinforce our assessment of our opinion of him, because he's constantly saying and doing these wacky end times things. So we did a story about 7 months ago, and let me just read to you a couple of lines from that article published back on May 9th of 2022. May 9th of 2022. Speaking 2 days after being sworn in for a second term as French president, Emmanuel Macron called for big thinking on the future of Europe, saying that the war in Ukraine showed the need for a historic process of reflection. And back in May, he proposed a European political community, a new European organization that would enable democratic European nations to adhere to our values, to find a new space for political cooperation, and blah, 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 blah. Now, that was back in May. We did an article on it. We mentioned it on a podcast. Time goes on. Everybody forgets about it. Well, this is one reason why the archives are so very important and so very necessary. And this is why I'll go back in the archives like I'm doing right now, and I'm reminding you of these things that took place so that you can have confidence in what we're telling you. So that was 7 months ago. 2 months ago, we did this article, and this happened. Emmanuel, October 6th of 2022. Emmanuel Macron unveils his new European political group as he begins to make good on his 2017 promise to rule like the god Jupiter. And so what happened on October 6th of 2022, just a couple weeks ago, Emmanuel Macron debuts his new European political community. This is from the New York Times that I'm reading to you from right now. It says, larger than the 27-nation European Union, the new body includes countries like Ukraine and Moldova that are impatient with the long process of securing EU membership. Mr. Macron believes that the war in Ukraine will be long, extending well beyond the winter as Russian reinforcements reach the front. And to make a long story short, back in October, Emmanuel Macron unveiled his European political community, which is almost twice the size of the European Union. Now, are we to believe that he's creating a rival European Union that he himself will be in charge of to overshadow the current EU? That is exactly what he, not what he's doing, that is exactly what he did. So, back in May, he said, we need to have this group. And it only took him 5 months to get that group together, to launch it, and have people, one of the nations that decided to join his group was the nation of Israel. Because they evidently like his vision. The other thing that he's working on is he's working on the creation of a European army. There is no unified military force other than NATO. Well, Emmanuel Macron is not happy with simply having NATO. Emmanuel Macron wants in his United European political community, he wants to have a army to back up his new group that he created. And then who is going to be the leader of this new army? Well, he's going to be the leader of the army. Now, you may say to me, well, that's impossible. He can't do all those things. Well, the reason why he is the main subject of the podcast today is because he is doing those things. This is not speculation. He created the European political community. And right now, as we speak, he is working on creating a unified European military force with himself as the leader. So, we're not giving you speculation. We're not giving you one day, someday. We are telling you what Emmanuel Macron has done just this year. He's had a really, really busy year. And if you look at it in light of Bible prophecy, he's had a really good year. In fact, I would dare say, and you may disagree with this, that's fine, but I would dare say that Emmanuel Macron is the most successful European leader. I won't say he's the most powerful, but I will say that Emmanuel Macron is the most successful in terms of stating an agenda, laying out a plan, setting goals, establishing a vision, and then taking action steps to bring that to pass. I can't think of anybody who is more successful than Emmanuel Macron. I'm going to play this clip. I've played it before. Klaus Schwab, 2017, talking about the young global leaders that they've been able to plant in world governments. Take a listen.
When you brought the Young Global Leaders Program here for executive education and the Schwab Fellows. But there are two countries in the world now in which the young global leaders have emerged. Tell us just a bit about that in terms of the governance.
Yes, actually, this notion to integrate young leaders is part of the World Economic Forum since many years. And I have to say, when I mention our names, like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin, and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. But what we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina too.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, that's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm with the president, who is young global leader, but...
Did you hear what he said? I wish I had the type of sophisticated software where I could just play back the last 10 seconds. I don't. But you just heard Klaus Schwab tell you that they planted Emmanuel Macron in France in power in 2017 as part of their young global leaders.
What is important for me is those young global leaders have an opportunity to come here. And we, in addition to the young global leaders, we have now the global shapers in 450 cities around the world.
Diversity fosters new ideas. New ideas generate the experimentation needed to make the most of the fourth industrial revolution.
The measure of a society, of a just society, is not whether we stand up for people's rights when it's easy or popular to do so. It's whether we recognize rights when it's difficult, when it's unpopular. We are a society that stands up for people's rights, and when governments fail to respect people's rights, we all end up paying.
If you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. But don't think you can get on a plane or a train beside vaccinated people and put them at risk.
All right, there you have it. Klaus Schwab bragging about his Young Global Leaders Program. I want to read to you just one little paragraph from an article that we did back on May 5th of 2020. This is an article entitled, "Your Head Will Spin After You Realize That Emmanuel Macron Has Both Jewish Ancestry and Inexplicable Ties to the Rome, to the Assyrian Empire." I'm going to put this link into the chat room, and then I'm going to read to you. I just want to read. Most of you have read this article. Some of you have not. But this is the main article where we fired all the guns that we have, connecting Emmanuel Macron to the possibility and the high likelihood that he is the biblical man of sin. Now, I want to read to you. Now, this is a very long article with tons of information, but let me just give you the Emmanuel Macron timeline, okay? And these are things that we were able to verify 100%. In 2014, Emmanuel Macron was invited by Henry Kissinger to the Bilderberg Conference in Copenhagen, a globalist meeting with the world's wealthiest, most powerful individuals. One of the topics that was discussed was, what's next for Europe? Well, as it turns out, Emmanuel Macron was what's next for Europe. In April of 2016, Emmanuel Macron gathered with guests in his hometown exactly 1 year before the election to announce his political movement, En Marche, which means on the move. A witness who was at the event said, and I quote, "It felt like being at a wedding, a small room, emotion, a speech. In fact, it was a birth." End quote. In fact, it was the most rapid political coming of age that France had ever witnessed. And 1 year later, 1 year later, in 2017, at the age of 39, Emmanuel Macron became the youngest head of state in French history and an international star, winning with 66.6% of the vote. And you can Google that. The headlines actually said 66.6% because that's the exact number of votes, percentage-wise, that he received. People in 2017 actually speculated, could he be the Antichrist? Well, I mean, and that's kind of a knee-jerk reaction that if any time you see 666, on a license plate or a phone number. Years ago, there was a cough medicine called 666, and, you know, that number pops up a lot. There's no beast right now. It's not, I mean, I wouldn't want 666 on my license plate, but it wouldn't mean that I was connected to the mark of the beast, because there is no beast as of yet. But the point of what I'm saying is, you put all these things together, and you say to yourself, wow, that's a whole lot of coincidence taking place. That's a whole lot of wacky things happening. And yet, those things have happened, they are happening, and they continue to happen. Emmanuel Macron, he called for a single global order. That is exactly what you would expect to see and to hear if he indeed was the biblical man of sin. Because when the biblical man of sin becomes the son of perdition, he is going to take over the world order. And that's exactly what the prophets say. That's exactly what Daniel says. That's exactly what Revelation says. So there's really no getting around it. Now, not that this has anything to do with what we're talking about, because I don't think that it does. I just want you to listen to this clip in light of what we're talking about, and maybe we can find a connection. Take a listen to this latest clip from Jason A., entitled, What in the World is Going On Today?
First up, what the heck's going on here? Dozens of sheep have been eerily walking around in a perfect circle for 12 days straight. Where? In China. Now, is it aliens? We don't know. Have they been brainwashed by the liberal media? We don't know. Nobody seems to know while they're walking in circles. So, Will Cain, what is this?
The next pandemic?
China. First back.
It's apocalypse.
Wow.
Stay away. It's get back waters. Get away from whatever's happening on that screen
I'm going to cancel my trip to Beijing.
The thing. The other sheep were standing on the sidelines watching them saying, hey, these guys are crazy.
They could either provide an explanation for the increasing number of sightings that we're seeing, or it could reveal some more information about new encounters. The question really is, how much of it is going to be declassified. Meanwhile, Mark says he was told his report is going to be included in that review for Congress, and based on other pilots he's been talking to, he is convinced dozens of commercial pilots are going to be coming forward describing the same kind of lights flying in that racetrack-like pattern in the direction of the Big Dipper. The craziest part of his story, he says, is he saw a shooting star during all of this that was coming in that direction too, and he's like, oh my gosh, there's a shooting star happening as well, and then that shooting star joined in the pattern that those other lights were flying, something he's never seen before.
Whoa. Dozens of pilots can't be making this
up. I know.
And again, we weren't studying these, but they were always out there. You know, they were
always
out there when we took off, we'd see them, and then we'd go to land, they would still be out there.
Like every day?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
So you guys go from not having any idea that these things are out there to an upgraded radar system to seeing them every day.
Over the last several months, there's something unexplainable appearing in the night, from the skies over Missouri to above the Pacific Ocean.
It's not a satellite, it's not a meteor.
All baffling pilots mid-flight.
I don't know what the common denominator is, but it's always at the bottom of the Big Dipper.
Mark Holsey is a former F-18 fighter pilot. This August, he was piloting a private jet off the coast of Los Angeles when he says he saw as many as 7 mysterious objects appearing to fly thousands of feet above him. This is audio from that night alerting air traffic control.
Roger, I don't know. You're not entering any military or space or anything. I'm not sure.
The clip obtained by Ben Hansen, a researcher who has spoken to dozens of pilots of commercial flights that have recently had similar encounters.
So it seems like it might be getting more frequent?
It's either getting more frequent or it's getting noticed more.
Okay, there it is.
But while no one seems to know what they're seeing, Holsey is sure these fast orbiting objects aren't satellites or any known military aircraft.
There were 2 aircraft from my squadron, VFA-11, and they flew, took off as a flight of 2, That means they're essentially flying in a formation like this. And as they hit the area, one of these objects went right between the aircraft. The lead air crew saw the object. He turned around, flew back, landed, and I was in the ready room when he come back. And, you know, he had all his gear on, which typically is not a good thing, because you want to get that stuff off as fast as possible. So usually means, you know, there's a problem of some nature. And, you know, he was just sitting there saying, hey, you know, I almost hit one of those damn things. And we all knew what he was referring to, even though we didn't necessarily have a name for it, just because we were seeing these so much. And he described it. You know, he described it just as a black or dark gray cube, and that cube was inside of a clear translucent sphere. Essentially, the apex or the corners of that cube, best he could tell, were touching that inside of that sphere.
And that description mirrors many of the descriptions that people have had of these, whatever you want to call them. Whether they're calling them UAPs now for some strange reason. UFOs is a, I don't know, does it have a dirty connotation to it? Is it tainted because of so many crazy people talk about UFOs? Is that what it is?
It does come with a lot of assumptions baked
yeah.
in.
It baked in, that's, yeah. So that's something, but whatever it is, that is a design that people have reported seeing before.
Now, is it aliens? We don't know. Have they been brainwashed by the liberal media? We don't know.
So, like I told you, there wasn't really a direct connection with that clip and what's going on with Emmanuel Macron and his single global order. But I'll tell you, if you're, you know, a lot of people, and we were talking about this at the bookstore on Saturday. We got together before going downtown to hand out tracts and to preach on the streets. We got together for pizza and prayer, and we were talking about how a lot of people, including Christians, they think that, you know, the crisis has passed and we're not locked down and they're not forcing vaccinations, even though they are forcing vaccinations up in Canada. And we'll talk about that on a later date. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in Canada right now. And remember that clip that I played just a couple of minutes ago about the Young Global Leaders Program. Trudeau is one of those young global leaders that was put in place by the New World Order. And so all these things are going on and all these things are taking place. And a lot of people, because they got a little bit of their freedom back, they think that the crisis is over. Well, the crisis is not over. And in fact, there's more things happening right now than were happening in 2020 and 2021. It's just that, sadly, a certain percentage of the population has stopped paying attention to it. But we continue to keep our eyes on things, and all these things are being connected. Right before the start of the pandemic, we did an article saying that the United States government now admits to the presence of UFOs. At roughly the same time the pandemic began. Is that a coincidence? I think that's a massive coincidence. But I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's all part of the plan. All right, so let's just switch gears a tiny bit. Let's just switch gears a little bit. We did this story on Saturday. Donald Trump, they're going to take one last shot at putting Donald Trump behind bars. Now, is he guilty of a crime? I honestly don't know. I don't know what he does behind the scenes. I don't think anything that he's been accused of so far he's guilty of. Somebody wrote to me yesterday and said, hey, I listen to your program and I really appreciate the news that I get. And they chastised me for being too hard on Donald Trump. Hey, I voted for Donald Trump twice. I'm not hard on Donald Trump. I'm just simply telling you the facts of what's happening. Sometimes those facts work in his favor, and sometimes they work against him. But the only loyalty that we have here is to Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. I don't have political loyalties. I don't do this program as a good Republican. I don't even do this program as a good Baptist. I do this program as a born again, Bible believing, Christian living in the end times. That's how I do this program. I don't have any political loyalties. I'm very patriotic to my home country. I love America. I love what she stands for. I love the promise of America. But I'm looking for a better country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. I'm looking for Mount Zion and the heavenly New Jerusalem. That's what I'm looking for. And if you're a Christian, if you're born again, that's what you should be looking for as well. So, to that listener who wrote me that email, hey, I'm really glad that you come to NTEB to get your news on a daily basis. Very much appreciate that. I'm not hard on Donald Trump. I just simply tell what's happening. And we try to do the same with everybody. Take a listen to this clip. Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel. You know, when the Democrats tried to impeach him the first time, that was a political stunt. And when they tried to impeach him the second time, that was also a political stunt. And we get political stunts. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want Congress or the Senate, two very powerful bodies, I would not want Congress or the Senate breathing down my back and trying to snoop around in my life to see if they could catch me in something. And I don't think, if you're honest, you wouldn't want those type of powerful people looking into you either. But that is not the same. Having political enemies is not the same as having prosecutorial or legal enemies. Congress can't put you in jail. Well, technically they can, but not really. The Senate can't put you in jail. But the special counsel appointed by the Attorney General, he can put you in jail. The Department of Justice, they can investigate you, and if they find a crime or misdemeanor, they can put you in jail. So the current round of trouble that Donald Trump is experiencing right now, this is not like the first and second impeachment. This is not like Russian collusion and the Golden Shower dossier and the rest of that garbage that turned out to be a lie. This is not like that. What they're looking to do to Donald Trump now is indict him on a crime that would result in serious jail time. Take a listen to this.
Turning to politics, Attorney General Merrick Garland is appointing a special counsel now to oversee the two ongoing federal investigations into Donald Trump concerning 2020 election interference and the Mar-a-Lago documents case, along with possible obstruction in that investigation. Garland has named veteran prosecutor Jack Smith to the position. The Justice Department says Smith has resigned from his position at The Hague, where he investigated war crimes committed during the Kosovo War. He will return to the United States immediately to begin his new assignment. Naming a special counsel gives Garland some distance from the investigation should his boss, President Biden, face off against Trump in the next presidential election.
Based on recent developments, including the former president's announcement that he is a candidate for president in the next election, and the sitting president's stated intention to be a candidate as well, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel. Such an appointment underscores the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. Throughout his career, Jack Smith has built a reputation as an impartial and determined prosecutor who leads teams with energy and focus to follow the facts wherever they lead. As special counsel, he will exercise independent prosecutorial judgment to decide whether charges should be brought.
Again, Attorney General Garland, appointed by President Biden, wanting to give himself some distance from this investigation now that Trump has gotten into the race. The former president spent the weekend, as you can imagine, railing against Attorney General Garland's announcement. In a series of statements, interviews, and at a Mar-a-Lago event, the 2024 presidential candidate bemoaned what he called the witch hunts that he has dealt with over the years.
This horrendous abuse of power is the latest in a long series of witch hunts. It started a long time ago. They want to do bad things to the greatest movement in the history of our country, but in particular, bad things to me. But I've gotten used to it. Lucky. It's lucky. A lot of people wouldn't get used to it so easily. This is a rigged deal, just as the 2020 election was rigged, and we can't let them get away with it. Over the years, I've given millions and millions of pages of documents, tax returns, and everything else, and they have found nothing, which means I've proven to be one of the most honest and innocent people ever in our country.
Again, the two investigations, the special prosecutor.
Now, we'll just stop that clip right there. If you've known Trump since the 1980s and his business dealings in New York City, and you know about the type of life that he's led for the last 42-plus years, he is not... I mean, he really, really goes a little too far. He's made lots of backroom deals, and he's done work with the mafia. And he's done all these things, and, you know, he wants to present himself as above reproach. But like we say in this program all the time, you may be a Christian, but the second that you become a politician, you become a compromiser. And there is just no way around that. And we have people like Ted Cruz who listen to this program, and I like Ted Cruz. I got nothing against Ted Cruz, politically speaking, other than he's a Christian, but I'll bet you anything he compromises all the time because that's the nature of politics. So what they're doing with Donald Trump is they're trying to get him not on Russian collusion to impeach him. They don't want that now. They want to put him in jail. And that's what's happening right now.
We'll be looking into, despite what the president said there, are his leading of an attempted coup against the government around 2020 election and the taking of classified documents from the White House to Mar-a-Lago. Let's bring in former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance. She's an MSNBC legal analyst and the founder of the conservative website, The Bulwark, Charlie Sykes. Good morning to you both. Joyce, let me start with you and what we know about Jack Smith, a prosecutor at the federal level, but also now a war crimes prosecutor at The Hague. What do you make of the move here and the choice of Mr. Smith?
Well, Merrick Garland clearly wasn't trying to appeal to the former president because there's nothing that could convince him that any investigation into his conduct has integrity. What Garland is trying to do here is simply doing the right thing in the right way, and it's something of a signal that he believes that there may well be sufficient evidence to indict Trump. Because if that wasn't going to be the case, there would have been no reason for Garland himself to decline on an investigation. So not to read the tea leaves too far, but it does seem to signal that DOJ believes that there's serious business ahead. Smith is well qualified. He has experience both in Maine justice, but out in the field at U.S. attorney's offices. And there's nothing like trying a lot of cases to help you understand when you have enough evidence to proceed in a very serious case. There's just no substitute for that experience. So he brings that along with managerial ability. He was actually briefly an acting United States attorney in Nashville during the Trump administration. And also he brings his experience in Kosovo, where he joined that team. It's interesting, Willie. They had actually been in progress for over a year with the investigation. No charges had been brought. He joined, as they call it, the specialist counsel in that situation, and charges were brought, over 100 of them. So he seems well positioned to hit the ground running here.
So, Joyce, let's stay with you and talk a little timeline. There's been a sense of real momentum in these investigations over the summer into early fall before DOJ pushes pause, at least publicly, because of that unwritten rule about not talking publicly commenting about an investigation 60 days near an election. That has come and gone. But bringing in a new person like this, is there a sense here, as qualified as he is, but this is going to slow things down? Is this going to extend the process of the investigation until we get a resolution one way or another about possible criminal charges?
So Garland says no, and he offers some compelling reasons to believe him. I'll say I think it's appropriate for us to all be watchful. But the argument runs something like this. Smith has a track record of jumping into existing investigations and hitting the ground running. The statement that Smith himself issued was a vow that the investigation would not shift into neutral while he got up to speed. Garland has promised that he will get all of the resources that he needs. And this is a very different situation from the Mueller investigation. Mueller became special counsel 8 days after Jim Comey, the FBI director, was fired by Donald Trump. There was no pre-existing investigation for him to pick up and run with. He had to build everything from ground zero. He nonetheless moved remarkably quickly. I remember how surprised we all were when those first indictments began to come down. Smith has a very different scenario. He's got prosecutors and agents who are working on this matter, these matters, because it's both of the investigations, January 6th as well as Mar-a-Lago, and those folks will be able to shift over. He can continue working with them, with the professionals in the National Security Division. He should be able to move with some speed, even in this December period where DOJ is normally a little bit quieter. And that's what I'll be looking for, to see if they run through the tape at the end of the year.
And, you know, Mike, the criticism we've heard from Donald Trump in the last couple of days and from other Republicans over the weekend is about the timing, which is that Donald Trump announces he's running for president, and a couple of days later, the attorney general announces a special counsel, where it's actually just the opposite. The attorney general has said, because Donald Trump announced he's running for president, I need to remove myself from this because I was appointed by President Biden, who might be his opponent, and hand this over to someone who will be independent and who is not tied to the administration in that way.
Yeah, well, Willie, the former president has ever been known for being reflective about events that surround him, which leads me to ask you, Charlie Sykes, the clip that we just played of the former president speaking, it struck me and I think others that he does not wear well the costume of a victim.
Nobody likes to put it on, doesn't he? This, of course, is one of the great paradoxes. You know, I alone can fix this. I am the great man. I will return America to greatness, but I am this besieged victim all the time. My first reaction was a little bit of disappointment.
So let's just touch on that for a second. Obviously, the Democrats are still afraid of Donald Trump. They are using what's left of their political advantage before the new members of Congress are sworn in, because the GOP has barely, but they have taken control of the Congress. And so after the first of the year, the balance of power is going to shift a little bit. So they're trying very, very hard to put things in place right now while they can still do it. And whatever Donald Trump may be guilty of, it is no coincidence and it is no accident that they're launching this at the same time he announces his bid for re-election. It really couldn't be more obvious than that. But do they have something there? Is there a smoking gun? Is there something that they could actually indict him on? Well, there probably is. Now, I saw an article, and I don't know if I can put my finger on it quickly enough, but I read an article on the Jerusalem Post just yesterday, and I should have written it down. I did not write it down. I should have grabbed it and just thrown that link into a Word document. Oh, here it is. Yay! I found it. I'm not saying that I agree with what I'm about to tell you. I'm just going to simply read to you from an article on the Jerusalem Post website dated yesterday. Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump may have reported Donald Trump to the FBI. It's a little bit of a bombshell. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump were potentially moles who informed the Justice Department about classified documents being held at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago compound. Last week, Ivanka did not attend her father's announcement about his plans to run in the 2024 presidential elections. And coincidentally, her brother, Donald Trump Jr., also did not attend that announcement. And it got people talking. It got people speculating. And if for no other reason, then Donald Trump featured his children as part of his cabinet when he was president back in 2016. Jared Kushner was his right-hand man, his daughter Ivanka, his two sons Eric and Don Jr., they all played very large, prominent roles. So you would think that even if all of those children didn't want to do it again because, you know, maybe they have personal lives, I don't know if I would want to do it again. The only time that I ever ran for what you could call political office was back in the 1990s in my hometown of Pompton Lakes, and they made me the president. I didn't run for it. They elected me president of our Chamber of Commerce, and small town, but a very active chamber, had 128 members, and, you know, there was a lot going on. And as the president of the Chamber of Commerce, not really a political, you know, nobody elected me. Well, no, they did. But it wasn't like running for mayor. But I had to interact with the mayor and the town council and the planning board. And I had to interact with visiting Congress people and Senate people. And I really got a nice little taste of what it would be like to be in politics. And I hated it. I didn't hate the part where I was working for my town. I loved my hometown of Pompton Lakes up in New Jersey. I considered myself, in a manner of speaking, to be like George Bailey from Bedford Falls. If you've ever watched that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And I lived in that town for a long, long time, for three-fifths of my life. I lived in that town, and I loved my hometown. I still do. So that part of being the chamber president was very appealing to me, and I enjoyed bringing in new businesses and helping to do that and working to help to make the other people successful and prosperous, and put on all the events that we put on. That was the fun part. That was the satisfying part. The bad part was the politics part. And, you know, as quickly as you can blink your eye, I had trouble with the mayor, I had trouble with the town council, I had trouble with this and trouble with that, and next thing that you know, they're sending people out to investigate, did I have a building permit for doing my new construction, and did I do this, and they harassed me. To the point where I almost left the town and moved my business a couple towns over. But there was a big town meeting and the newspapers called me George Bailey and you know, it was really kind of sweet, part of it was. And it resulted with the town politicians backing down and backing off. But I'll tell you something, I told you that whole long story. You're not ever going to find me running for anything. I don't want any type of politics. That to me is, my dad used to say that you would have to be crazy to be a politician because politics is really about the politics of personal destruction. You win by tearing down the other guy. And, I mean, my dad said that to me back when I was a teenager, back in the 70s. It is 10 times more true today. 10 times more true today. And my dad said that because he was on the planning board, and he cared about his hometown. You know, it's funny. My dad was raised in my hometown, and he stayed there and raised his family. And I always imagined that I would never leave my hometown. But politics will do that. Politics will do that. So now we still have some time left. I want to play this clip for you, talking about what's happening in Canada with the vaccines. Did you know that Justin Trudeau, one of Klaus Schwab's young global leaders that they put in power a number of years back, the same Justin Trudeau that Klaus Schwab was bragging about in that clip that I played, they are now spending $500 million this year in Canada, and they're building massive mRNA vaccine factories. Can you tell me why, as the pandemic has gone from pandemic to chronic, why would you spend $500 million in the end of 2022 for something that's now just become like having the flu? I want you to listen to this clip. It's only 45 seconds long. But this clip, I promise you, will send chills down your spine. Take a listen to this.
Pediatric medication. So far, it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
Oh, man, you're so right. I just thank you for your courage. The people of Canada are really appreciative of what you've done, how you're speaking. Thank you. Please don't stop doing it. We're grateful for you, and I know the world is also going to be hearing a lot more from you, Dr. Mackus. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there we have the Canadian government, and right now they are considering taking action to categorize people that refuse the mRNA vaccine. And if you think that mRNA vaccine is going to stay only with the COVID-19 virus, you are deluded. They're going to put that into fighting cancer. They're going to put that into HPV. They're going to put that into the flu. They're going to put mRNA into absolutely everything. You can write it down. Mark my words. That is absolutely what you're going to see if the Lord tarries in 2023. You're going to see mRNA everything, because that is the appointed technology. That is absolutely coming. But what that clip just told you, is that Canada, who is spending $500 million now creating massive mRNA vaccine factories after the pandemic has run its course, they're spending $500 million. They are considering passing legislation that would categorize people who, for whatever their personal reasons are, decline to receive an mRNA injection. They are going to classify them as people who are mentally ill. And now you've gone full circle. Now you're back to 1939, 1938. You're back in Nazi Germany. You're back at the opening of the Sachsenhausen concentration camp for the Jewish people. Now you're back with Joseph Mengele, the angel of death, performing his obscene medical experiments on people. That's where all this takes you back to. Now, you know, don't forget that Bill Gates is a eugenicist. His father was a eugenicist. The woman who created Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. She was a eugenicist. The original name of Planned Parenthood was called the Negro Project. And if you're black or brown, don't get mad at me. I don't agree with it. But that's what Margaret Sanger called it. She called it the Negro Project. Why? Because the original mandate of Planned Parenthood was to reduce the black population in America because Margaret Sanger and her fellow eugenicists considered them to be racially and genetically inferior. Adolf Hitler didn't invent the horrible doctrines that he came up with. They were around for a couple of decades before he came on the scene. So, what is all of this leading you to? I said it 2 years ago, I'll say it again. All this is leading you to quantum dot human injectable vaccinations with the main enzyme is going to be something called luciferase. And that is a substance, that is an enzyme that is injected into your body, which makes the injection site glow. That's what luciferase is. And I'm going to post this picture into the chat room. It's an oldie but a goodie. The numerical value of the phrase implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system sent to me by a very astute listener back in 2020. And please forgive me, I've forgotten your name, brother. But feel free if you're in the chat room to say hi. But a very astute listener back in the early days of our podcast, he heard me say this rather mouthy expression. Implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. And he had some time on his hand. And he just decided, well, let me add up those letters. And let me see what those letters add up to. And they add up to 666, but I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Luciferase glows purple. The colors of the harlot are purple and scarlet. So, you do the math. You do the math. Lulu says, my doctor keeps telling me that I need the flu shot. The flu shot's been around since the 1970s. And I have never had a flu shot. And I would never take a flu shot. If you want to take it, that's fine. But I used to work for about three different big pharma companies, and I spent a lot of time working for big pharma, almost 10 years, and I would never, ever, in a million years, I wouldn't take the COVID shot, but I would never, ever take the flu shot. The flu shot's been doing damage to people for quite some time. But, you know, you pray and you see what the Lord tells you. If the Lord tells you to take a flu shot, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. I'm just saying that I prayed about it and the Lord told me not to take it. And I'm really glad that I never took it. Let me play this clip for you. And this was back in a day and age where you could almost kind of trust the news media. Now, you might say to me, trust the news media? What are you, crazy? Well, I want to play a clip from the news media. And you tell me if this level of honesty could ever be exhibited today in 2022. Listen to 60 Minutes Mike Wallace talking about the dangers of government vaccines 45 years ago.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways.
So there you have Mike Wallace, and he's telling you, and that was from a broadcast from 45 years ago. And you know what happened? They had a version of the flu shot, and it made a lot of people sick, and it killed a couple of people. And the people got outraged, and they brought suit against the government. You know what the government did? They passed, now these are the people, Republican and Democrat, who are supposed to be representing the interests of the people. And what did they do in response to these thousands of lawsuits? Because people got sick and people died from a government-promoted vaccine? They passed legislation saying that vaccine manufacturers can no longer be sued. They didn't side with we the people. They sided with Wall Street. They sided with Big Pharma. Now, if you're a Republican, like I'm a Republican, and you have this grandiose vision that America is going to become great again, you would have to overturn all sorts of stuff like that. You would, if America was going to be great again, it would have to actually represent the will of the people and to represent the people justly and honestly and fairly. Do you think any Republican is going to work to overturn the legislation that says that vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued? They're not. Remember how the Republicans promised for year after year that they were going to overturn Obamacare? Did they overturn Obamacare? They did not. Do they care about the will of the people? They do not. They care about keeping themselves in power. They care about perpetuating their power, enriching themselves. They are no longer trusted, humble public servants. They're not trusted, they're not humble, and they are serving themselves. They are not serving the public. Aren't you so glad that we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you so glad that we have a God who loves us so much that He got on a cross and allowed Himself to be crucified, died, and buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the scripture, to pay your sin debt and to pay my sin debt. That herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself as a propitiation, a substitute for our sin. That's the God that we serve. And it is a pleasure to serve him. It is not grievous. It is not, it is empowering to serve a God like that. The Bible says, if you humble yourself in due time, he shall lift you up. And this is why I'm not looking for America to become great again. It would be great if it happened, but it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen for all the reasons that we talk about all the time. Now, we're just about at the end of our podcast for today. A couple of people, like Charlton, just posted that he got home safely. Dennis is still traveling. I think Trisha and her boys are still traveling. Jane is still traveling to North Carolina. Kentucky Jeffrey got home yesterday. And for whoever else, Joe and Linda, whoever else is still traveling, please keep them in your prayers. And remember, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and the day after, for 24 hours on this Friday, we don't call it Black Friday, we call it Blessed Friday, massive, massive sale in the bookstore, and we hope that all of you will take advantage of it. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night. A lot of people been buzzing. Is there a 10-year tribulation? Has the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble, has that already taken place? We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. Lord willing, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great week, everybody.
Be able to do this great old song called I Wanna Die on the Battlefield. Glory in my soul. One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the battlefield with glory in my soul. Well, I used to have some people who walked and talked with me.